to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The time's 1:00. Today is May 23rd. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Present. Next item on our agenda is prayer. Congressman Hamilton, would you give us an afternoon prayer, please?
Father, we ask you to be in our heart and mind to come together for our retired people. Please, we thank you for the rain that we've had. We thank you to be with our families in mourning. Please be with our men, women, and uniform, wherever they may be. All these things I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes. We have we have two for April 24th. Congressman Mason.
Motion to approve set A and set B of the minutes for April 24th.
Second.
Motion to approve the minutes for April 24th, 1 at 4 p.m., 1 at 4:58 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is discussion with Diane Hammonds.
Hello.
You want to come to the table?
Sure. Hi there, Tom. Yeah. Hi. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hi.
Hello.
So I'm Diane Hammonds. I'm Cherokee. I'm from Tahlequah. This is Jan Tiger. She's Muscogee Creek, lives in Tulsa. And we are part of a team that is doing contractual work for Bureau of Indian Affairs, doing tribal court assessments. I'm the contractor, and Jan and some other natives are on the teams, and we go to these courts and look at their processes and talk to people interested in the courts, and hopefully it's a several month process. We have to turn a draft report into the BIA. But the purpose of it is to obtain funding for the tribal courts, to pinpoint any needs that the courts may have. We just started doing this last fall. I got the contract in September, and we've been doing it since, I think we started our first one in October. We're also doing the CFR courts in District 2. So this will be the third tribal court that we will assess. So we wanted to answer any questions that you guys had, maybe hear any concerns you have about your court system or what you think the needs are to improve the judiciary, because that's what we're about. I mean, Jan and I are both lawyers. Most of the people on the team are lawyers, and we've practiced in tribal courts for a number of years, and we really, it's important to us for tribal courts everywhere to succeed, and if we can help at all, that's what we want to do.
Congresswoman Edwards, do you have any? Let Congressman Mason go first.
Sure.
I'll just, first of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Seoul.
Thanks,
Jay. Both of you. Who is it that funds you in the Kibbles project?
It's the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Tribal Justice Services.
Okay.
Benny Francisco in New Mexico is probably our first point person, and then Tricia Tingle, the BIA offices there in DC, are the ones we deal with the most.
And you're here to, again, advise us, but you're already under schedule to evaluate our court system, is that correct?
Yes, it is, or we are. And we receive the request. The way it happens is the tribe formally requests the assessment be done, sends a letter to Tribal Justice Services, and then they confirm it and assign us out, sort of introduce us. So we're scheduled to be here next month. I think there are three hearing days in mid-July. And we're going to be here for all three of those and watch the court
session. Just getting caught up a little bit, you can enlighten me a bit. Was it Chief Standing Bear that asked you to come, or was it from our court system or the Department of Justice, our judicial system here?
The letter would have been signed by Chief Standing Bear, I think.
We did a resolution.
Did you do a resolution? Okay.
Not here.
Maybe.
Okay.
We did a resolution, Chief Standing Bear signed it.
Oh, I understand. I remember, yes.
Angela sponsored it.
Thank you, I remember.
And you, are you done, Congressman?
I am.
Yeah, okay, Congresswoman Edwards.
So, if my recollection serves me correctly, you have, if you interview stakeholders in the process, and so, and also if we have a congressional committee that liaisons with the court, you'll talk to those folks. And so, do we just ask to be on your agenda, or how do we get to the point where we get interviewed individually?
It's been very informal thus far. As I said, this is only my third, and I'll talk to anybody that wants to talk to us. So, you know, by email or, you know, just informally request, we're going to be here those 3 days, and we really do want to try to talk to everybody.
July 12th through the 14th? So maybe during some of that period, you might either set up some times with Congress members or...
Sure, and I can actually come here and just sit here for a day and stay over half a day. I know that we can all be going and talking to different people so that we use the best time allotted to us, but we can certainly sit down for a certain time and just let anybody pop in that wants to talk to us. We can also schedule specific times too, however the committee desires for us to handle this part of the assessment, making sure that we do speak to all the stakeholders.
And those communications are confidential. You don't put names or any of that kind of thing in the report.
Nothing in the report has anybody's name other than has our names on the day that we came for the initial assessment. The days that were there and who requested it, which you guys just said would be by a travel resolution and signed by Chief Standing Bear. It's just a topical at the beginning, but the actual interview, these are not named in the report.
So I don't know if we want to try to find a day or one of those days and put some time in, time slots in so people can come by, or how we want to do that, but we probably ought to try to let everybody know, or else they can call on the phone, I guess, even during that time.
Absolutely,
right?
Sure.
So,
or you can call anytime. I mean, I'm willing to talk to anybody, you know, in the interim. And let me go ahead and give you my number. It's 918-708-5054.
Maybe it's a time that it's closer you could send out an agenda. Yeah. And send out the day, because we kind of really revolve around the court too, and just let them call you or email you, and that way you can set those up times.
We think we're going to have a third person joining us doing the assessments, and that's Stacy Leeds. She's also a Cherokee. She's dean at the University of Arkansas School of Law, and she's, I think she's still a tribal justice somewhere, isn't she, y'all?
I'm sure. She usually has.
And she's been a tribal judge lots of different places.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay.
Great.
So is there, we can do that. You have my email address. Would you share that with members of the group, and you can contact me by email or phone, and we will set up some times around those dockets. I'm sure with the dockets being one each day, they're not going to last all day. And we can, you know, we can be here the day before, the day after, or come on another specific day, whatever works best.
And if there's any particular travel resolutions that you want to send to us or through you, because are those published or is it just the, okay.
Everything's published, our code's online.
Excellent.
The Constitution's online. Let me see what else, we can get you a copy of that resolution so you'll have it.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Congressman Mason will give you.
I wouldn't remember that.
Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And I didn't say, and perhaps should have, all these are provided at no cost to the tribes. So the BIA pays us, the contract amount's already set, so it doesn't cost the tribe anything for us to come and do these assessments.
Ultimately, at the end of these assessments, that's for the purpose of the bureau or the system to know how we work?
It's actually for the tribe. The report will belong to you, and we will bring it after it's in final product and present it to you and let you know our findings. Hopefully, in that process, maybe initially, and then after the report is finalized, then we can get some needed funding for the tribal judiciary. But then hopefully that report's a tool that you can use, you know, in the years to come and say, well, you know, these third parties seem to think that we needed whatever it is, you know, maybe a different case management system or an additional judge, or, you know, I'm just rattling off the top of my head here. Yeah, more training, whatever.
We're going.
All right.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I didn't bring any cards. That's how prepared we are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next item is tables.
Need to approve the payable to Xerox in the amount of $1,293.74.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item is another payable.
What's Westgate?
Trey, I'm sure you can answer that. We have a Westgate.
Westgate is the store for Congressman Maker's economic development complex. He's a student.
Okay. Oh. I thought
that's
it was
right.
Like Westgate.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody knows because I didn't know what it was.
I thought it was like Westgate Law. Okay,
no.
So it's a conference.
Okay. Is that, that's the table for the Pahuska Chamber?
Yes.
And everybody, you got a table?
Yes, we had a full table.
That's good. And did the nation or anybody else have one?
The nation did not.
Okay.
Casino did. The legislative table was full.
Grand Casino, that's also.
There's two Westgates, one for 146-26 and one for 285-74. They're both conference related for Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe do it in two parts.
The Maker.
Oh, Congressman Maker, not Mason.
Move to
I was wondering, he sounded surprised. I was like, are we sending you someplace you don't know about?
To approve the Citibank invoice in the amount of $1,786.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is Osage Nation code book discussion. Trey.
Yes.
You're up.
We have two issues.
That never goes away.
That's right. Two issues that need to be addressed. One, we formally were charging the public $272.50 for a copy of the code book for both volumes.
But not just the public, some programs and services also pay that, correct?
That's fine. Okay, well, if that's the case, I didn't know that that was the case. Let me just say that. I was under the impression that if an Osage Nation department, an entity of the Osage Nation needed a set of the books, that we were just giving them to them with the approval of Congressional Affairs. It appears that some of the departments may have ended up paying for them.
Okay, so we provide X amount of copies to judicial, X amount of copies to the AG office, X amount of copies to the executive branch. The executive branch then determines who is going to get those, or if they're going to keep them all there, as what I believe happens. And then say there's a program or service that feels like they need to have a copy because of their work. If they haven't been given a copy from executive branch, then they have bought them. Is that correct?
I haven't found a whole lot of records on the code books, but what I have found is that I've got receipts from the accounting department and from a couple other departments where their program was charged for the code books. When the code books came in, we contacted executive. They gave us a list of individuals that would be receiving, would need copies of those code books. And we did the same with the judicial branch and with the AG's office. And then the Congress members all got their, and staff all got copies for their offices, that we hadn't distributed any to the individual departments. And then I got a phone call from Social Services requesting a copy. I didn't know how much to charge. Contacted Trey, he said that he didn't think we charged, and that's what led to me researching things, and I found where some departments have been charged in the past. So we just need some direction on what we need to do.
I don't know why we're charging anybody. We spent money for people to have codes, so how many codes do we have left?
Approximately 165.
160? Yeah.
And these are the codes that are the old codes before we have the new codes?
No, these are the new volumes.
And how many people, how many on average do you sell to the public?
25, maybe.
Move to distribute 100 copies of the code to around the nation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Trey, because I can see he's like.
Does that include just anybody who requests one?
No, I'm sorry, around the government of the nation.
Okay, so up to 100 copies. I don't think it will be even close to that many that we'll need to. But.
Okay, so the motion's been amended to include the government.
Yeah, government entities.
Government entities of the Osage Nation. Is there a second? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries. Congresswoman Edwards, then Trey.
Move to donate a copy of the code to the Pawhuska Library.
Second.
Discussion. So I think if you're going to do Pawhuska, do it for Homing Great Horse Libraries too.
Perfect.
And Sky 2.
Perfect. Sky 2. Scheidler. Scheidler have a library?
I don't know.
Any public library within Osage the County? Osage Reservation area.
Okay. Amended. It's amended to include all public libraries within Osage County boundaries. Be given a copy of the code book to the public libraries. Is there a second?
Second?
There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 One last thing. I just need you to approve a price that we charge to the public if somebody wants to buy one. Previously, like I said, there were $272.50, which was $37,000 divided by the 200 sets that we got. Because we've already incurred that expense, you know, we only had to pay $16,200 to republish these with the additional laws. You divide that out by 200 volumes, which is what we received. Comes out to $81 per volume.
81?
That's what I...
That's 100, so it's $240 for 3 volumes?
No. It's $81 for the 3-book set.
But we did charge $272 last time?
Yes, because we had such a much larger volume of laws when we first started. It was 2006 through 2013, much bigger volume of laws, and they had to edit and publish all of them. This time, they've already edited and published up through 2013, or 2014, they were just editing and republishing. They were only editing for a two-year period and then republishing what they'd already done. So it didn't cost near as much. It was about half the price.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve the amount for code volumes offered to the general public at $125 a set.
Second.
Discussion?
Just made that number up, so any number is fine, I mean.
Motion on the floor, the second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. Okay, next item on the agenda is break room renovation and chamber discussion. I threw that to Trey. Trey, have you heard from the BIA?
Yes, so no. I talked to Mr. Cass, and so the process isn't really with the BIA, it's with GSA. We have to actually go through GSA to get our lease amended. Mr. Cass can speak to that better than I can. He's indicated that that might take up to a couple of months to do. And then he wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of any issues that might be aware or that might be on the other side of that wall. I think Congressman Walker may have previously brought to our attention that it is a raised floor on the other side, so you know, might have some construction issues there. But
okay.
So Mr. Cass can speak
Bruce,
to a lot of this.
Bruce, and then we'll let you talk about it first, and then Bruce, Shannon, you can have the first question. Bruce, come on to the table. Come on down.
Who owns Mr. Cass?
What?
Who owns these buildings?
We do.
But
we have a lease with the federal government, GSA.
And there are certain parts of that lease that say, like, we have to provide them a break room. We have to provide access door and a door access from this side. So, okay, Bruce.
This facility here is leased to GSA and used by the BIA and IIM. Our office of special trustee, there's two entities that occupy that space through one lease to GSA. And the federal government manages their side of the lease with those two entities and GSA. So we have obligations under that lease to address certain elements, wear and tear, maintenance on the facility for them in return for our rent. So that's the overview of that lease agreement with GSA.
Do you let me know about the having to replace the square footage too? I think that's important.
Well, in previous, some of you may recall that prior to having office space for Congress, before the government was put into place, there wasn't any office space for Congress, so we had to negotiate very quickly to ask their mineral side, field side, field person side, the minerals branch for the BIA to relocate. When we did that, we provided them space, and for some time we provided a trailer for down here on the south side of the campus in return for taking that as part of the negotiation process, in return for taking that space back. So it's doable, it just takes a little time to work through GSA to get the lease amended. And then they have to communicate with the superintendent or whoever their property, their property personnel at their office in Eastern Oklahoma region that we tend to go to Fort Muskogee, yes sir. Work through with that, and we have to work that, those details out.
Shannon?
So, a couple of issues. One, so did we, when we leased them the space that they're currently occupying, did we put the door up for them, or is that their door that limits access to an exit?
They put the door up as part of their security requirements, the BIA security, Federal Government Security Requirements.
Okay, but that, at that point, when they did that, they limited our means of egress in the case of an emergency.
It would appear that way, but based on the commercial, international building code requirements, you have adequate egress from that space.
I'd be surprised, based on today's world and what happens with active shooters, etc. We have one exit of the building. We have, so I'd like to just to check on that.
Sure.
Because one of the things that I thought we were talking about doing is trying to at least be able to access that exit door somehow, even if it's only in case of an emergency, because right now we have no way to get through that. Okay, so then the next question was, what I understood them to say when we were talking about, hey, are you guys utilizing this space through here? They said when we contracted the land function, that took space out of their, that they have space now that they weren't utilizing anymore. So they were going to move some of their other people into that space from somewhere else, which is what gave me the idea that, hey, we could take over some of that space because they're just looking to fill it. So we can talk to them about the adjacent space, just whatever square footage it is. And it wouldn't make any difference if it took 2 months, but I guess the question, what we were trying to figure out is if we opened up that wall in our break room to some additional space, which was the only way we could get to that space if that door stays the way it is, then we didn't want to design through a door. So how else would we get to that space if we didn't open that door? We'd have to go through that break room, right?
We have to have a conversation with GSA about that plan. Advice to put the crews there in for it. So it's satisfied life safety benefit, egress in emergency situations. And get their buy-in with that.
Okay.
So the space adjacent to that break room is a pretty big electrical room. And then the rest of it's what they used to refer to as a map room. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big space. So I don't know how much they can, I don't know if they're field operations people still utilize that and the other thing. There's some unanswered questions with this.
The question would be whether they can move that stuff to the land area that they're trying to fill that space with, because they said something about moving people that were formerly housed off campus, if you will, because they've got this space that they need to fill up. So my question was, could we take over the map room as a second? We need a standby meeting space, even if we wanted to use it for committee meetings or if we want to use it for the days that two entities need these chambers at the same time. And just for even for meetings. So, I mean, that map room would work as a meeting space, right?
Good.
So that's the goal, at least that's what I understood the goal to be, was to try to find another space for Congress to be able to hold sessions, committee meetings, whatever. So if we know that where that means of egress would be, maybe we just leave that wall now blank for now so that we are able to tap through it if we need to. But that's what we need to not put cabinets all along that wall if we're going to end up putting a doorway there.
Just another point, the floor in that room is, for reference,
it goes up.
Is this high, and the floor in the the current break room is this elevation. So that's why when you go through that door, there's a ramp that takes you into the rest of the building.
Exactly.
So those floors are not the same elevation.
Exactly. Well, that's why part of the question was, can you not move that door so that we could access those back rooms? And then we wouldn't have to go through the break room. We could just utilize what's already there. Which actually would be good because there's places to put memorabilia, and we've got all sorts of Congress memorabilia that would be nice to put in those bookcases.
Okay, so Bruce, I'll put you back on the next agenda. It'll be in a month.
So we'll approach a
His request is to approach DSA, talk with BIA, and to particularly get his thoughts about space.
Congressman Mason.
Who's then going to be the driver of this project? Going to be us over here in Congress, or going to be you in your position with the nation to talk with BIA to get us this place? Who's the driver? Who's taking lead on this?
Well, I can gather this information and bring it back and find out, but I can't speak for Congress about what you want.
I know. So who talks to the GSA? Would be us?
As much as you'd like to.
GSA, we typically, in all of our lease agreements, we typically in the lead on all of that.
I think once he gets the answers from GSA, then we can determine who's actually going to be, like, it'll be us making the decisions and appropriating the dollars and the cents, and then Bruce working with GSA and us working together to get all the changes made.
When's the next meeting?
Well, we are going to talk about that in just a second.
So there's just the parts that we're not really mentioning is they pay, GSA pays the nation a rate per week. And so it will have impacts on budgets. Revenue that comes into our tribal works department through the government operations division, GSA's rate will be reduced. And Congress's space cost, your occupancy line, that's in your budget, will then increase. But they don't offset, they're not even, we charge that. We make more money off of them being in that space than space costs to Congress or any other department.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. All right, we have a chamber discussion on here.
She has some more to say about the chamber stuff.
Can you give him a little bit of an idea of when we might meet next so he can be ready to have an answer by then?
Okay. All right, Shanna.
Yes, ma'am.
This
Citibank comes out. We're able to access it on the 13th of the month, so we need a couple of days to process it and get all the support docs with married to it and everything. So by the 15th, it would be ready.
Okay, so we could do like the third Tuesday of the month seems to, that's like after the 15th.
That's fine.
So the third Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the month, what's everyone want to do?
Tuesday would be good for me.
Okay. Maria?
I just like to make a proposal here. We share two committee members, Congressman Mason and Congressman Edwards are on the committee, and I have a committee member that has a Thursday, Friday schedule that's available. Those are the only 2 days they can meet. Are you guys really set on Tuesday meetings? Is there a purpose for Tuesday meetings instead of maybe a Thursday meeting? And then that way we can possibly have the CA and Appropriations Committee meetings monthly on the same day, and Congressman Mason would only have to make one trip up.
I'm cool with that, except for the month of June. I'm not going to come in on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So.
All right, we'll discuss that.
Head committee man and a cook, so.
I'm just putting that in your ear.
So,
in the future.
Once we move past June
okay. And
into July, I'm fine with Thursday
okay.
or Friday.
All right, thank you.
Are you all meeting, is Appropriations meeting next month?
I haven't set a committee meeting yet, but I bet we will.
So,
what do you think about June 20th? It's on Tuesday.
Yep, we can do that. So, how about we set for next month, we'll set it for Tuesday, June 20th. And then after June, then we'll establish and coordinate with Appropriations to meet on the same day. If y'all want like Appropriations, and then we could have a lunch, y'all could have a lunch time, and then we could do CA. And that works for me.
Good,
okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. All right, Tuesday, June 20th,
wait,
we'll do that.
Hey.
Chamber discussion. What's going on? We got problems.
It's
with leaks. We had a bird's nest out there because we are all tacky. We have a trash can or a box sitting out there.
And a dead tree for 3 years.
That's a tribal works thing, guys.
The chamber flooding. Let's talk about that first.
That's been an ongoing problem for longer than I've been working with it, which is 18 years or so now. We get heavy rains, the east side of this property cannot get the water, can't handle the amount of water that's dumped in that little area. It's a low area. If we really want to address that and fix it properly, we need to get a civil engineer involved to help us get the water out of there. It's going to be at the expense of some heavy piping of storm water. You can imagine. Thursday, we had all the rain, and we got over just a little over 3 inches of rain in less than an hour, and this infrastructure can't support it. And you can see all the little modifications that have been made to the outside of the building to try to keep that from happening. So we're required probably some pumps, some area inlets, and a pipe to get the water away from the building faster. Situations when it came up. But it was just makeshift things have been done. Nothing about what's on the back side of that has been professionally engineered.
So how much is it going to be? A couple hundred thousand?
Probably not that much, maybe 150. Depending upon how far they have to go with the pipe and get the stormwater away.
And you have that amount of money appropriated? No. So what are you going to
do? I need an engineer to look at it, so that might take 40,000 to do that.
So when are you going to come? I mean, I believe all that, but it's, like you said, it's been a problem. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're talking anyways.
You said that's been a problem for years and years, and I believe you. So, I mean,
well,
I noticed that special session doesn't have any money on it inappropriate requested for that.
And when we do that, I think that we need to look at a program. I mean, there's been so much water damage in here, the carpet needs to be pulled up. Because now we're going to get into mold situations. And from the carpet, it's going to go to the walls.
Right.
I mean, so once we appropriate money for that, we're going to have to. I mean, there's not going to be another chore. We're going to have to appropriate money to get this carpet out. And to probably have someone come in. Have we looked under there? To see if the mold has already started?
They pulled the carpet up this last time, and a restoration company came and had fans under the carpet. And they had a dehumidifier in here that was pulling moisture out of the air. The foam underneath the carpet was not pulled up, so I don't know what it looks like, but the thing is, it's not the first time it's flooded, and there's been numerous times that it's flooded previously that the carpet wasn't pulled up, that we just had fans brought in here. So there's, I'm sure, issues that we don't want to know about.
So we're prepared to fix them. Okay. Congresswoman Edwards.
Okay, so help me for a capital asset project or capital improvement project. We've got to have all those things. There's an engineering study and a budget, all those things. Do you remember what all those are?
That's prior to the appropriation of the funds to complete the construction.
Right.
Initially, if I recall, you just, the law requires that we have a little bit of data, a little bit of information to get an appropriation for the professional service we bring back. The estimates for the construction and the cost analysis for the construction, all those things.
But we can do it knowing that this is not a new building, it's something that has to be done. I think we can ask that Bruce, I was going to make a motion that Bruce bring us back an estimate not only for the engineering parts but also for carpet replacement throughout this portion of the building. Because we're gonna get in a position of running out of money.
Well, I think if we're gonna do that, then we should just replace it for. I mean, if we're gonna spend the money to do all the carpet here and out here, we should just
appropriate the money and get the biggest bang for our buck and buy in bulk and get the rest of the carpet over here and over here, like the entire place.
That's what I'm saying, the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. Bruce and then Shannon.
So if you're gonna do that, some of the problem is how we get the water away from here. And the rest of the problem is, some of you may recall, the first thing we had was where you're at now. That was the first thing, I think, as far as BIA type facilities in the 70s. And then this thing came, the chambers in here, and then that part was, I think, in the very early 80s, maybe 70s. So these buildings, if you get on the roof, it's really a jumbled up thing. And that's where some of the problem is. So if we're going to look at that kind of money or that kind of effort, we really ought to consider two things. One, I'll just address if this thing stays. One, we need to address the roofing as well. This is a second life roof on the BIA in this building, roof space. And it's at the end of its life. So there's two roofs, a flat roof, and they built it up with metal. It doesn't meet current requirements for appropriate slope to have manufacturer warranty than we do. So if you're going to look at that, you're probably going to look at the entire roof and the whole system. Because that's where some of the problem lies in this little area here. I mean, it looks weird to have a little alleyway or space out there, but it's like that because that building wasn't there. And when we built it, now we have a weird little alleyway thing. Smoker's section or whatever happens.
<It's
hopeful.
laughs>
But
she just don't have any good news for us.
So that's the one thing to look
perfect
at.
To a roof.
But the other part of that is, then we really got to analyze what's the, you know, just my opinion. Do we keep that? Or do we work towards something new?
Shannon.
I have to reiterate what he's saying, because the corner is not just our only issue. We had a leak in here that started once before. It was the roof. They got the roof patched. Well, now we have water coming in under the door in the annex because of that alleyway, smoke way, whatever you want to call it. But then we also have an issue in the front where the water fountain that doesn't work. There's water coming in under it's seeping through the wall because of runoff from the roof, because the roof, like he said, is running all different directions, and you have runoff coming into that little flower bed area that's seeping through the wall and causing the carpet to get wet out there as well. So there's multiple issues besides just this one corner.
Well, that's what he, yeah. I water river when this office flooded. And it was pretty bad.
And
Shannon?
We've been putting in soft for 11 years. And as you can see, how we do as a body, if there's money in the bank, we need to spend it. So to me, it's time to make a concerted effort to fix this building the way it needs to be fixed, because frankly, I don't see another $15, $20 million going to build two more buildings down there anytime in the near future. So, as a result, I think it's going to be $1 million. And frankly, we built a new air conditioning unit right out there, and we didn't appropriate money for a wall. We walled in the other one that looked so ugly, but now we've got this ugly, and it's horrendous. It looks horrible. So we need to appropriate money for a wall to put around there, like the one. Is that one even being used, the one on this side?
Actually, the air conditioner that was, the air conditioner that was replaced was sitting right where the new one is.
Well, it's ugly. What's hiding? What's the wall that we have hiding?
I'm like him. I think it's hiding gas lines or something, some mechanical stuff that's coming in.
We need to hide that air conditioning unit.
Okay, well.
So.
The chamber's flooding is probably the
Or it might just be.
No, I'm saying while you're at it, appropriate the money to fix it all.
Okay, and I'm in agreement with that. I think the reality is we talk about, okay, do we sink money into this or do we look at something new? I honestly don't think that anyone wants to move from this building. I think that Congress and the Minerals Council are always going to be right here in this chamber because I just don't think that a lot of people want to see us move. I think people want us to stay here. When I say people, I mean some members and the constituent base. So, I mean, that needs to be the first thing we establish. Are we considering moving?
How much did it cost to build the wall building?
The building itself is about $8 million.
Anybody got $8 million to build a new building?
That's a good question. So I think we should establish that before we go in head first and we're looking at what we say, a million?
I guess a million.
A million to fix all the problems here?
It's a pretty good size roof.
Yeah, it is. It is. Maria?
That was my question. Is that even a ballpark figure? Could it go up to two?
Yeah, it's not where you want to go. We could get the envelope solid again and get another 20 years out of it before we have to start doing some serious maintenance with them. But
I'm happy to get 20 more years out of it, especially if we're going to migrate into some of the space, lease space that the BIA currently develops. I think that this building would serve us well if we had the ability to do that.
Yeah. And it sounds like it'd be cheaper than, new construction. Shanna?
I think we have to just be open-minded enough to realize that until we get a civil engineer to look and see about the runoff, because we don't know what we're going to encounter once they start seeing how much water runs from the IHS building toward this building and stuff like that. That could be more than what we're thinking, or it could be less. We don't know.
But Maria and then Shannon.
But roof design would play into that factor of where that water's running off.
Yeah, so the issue is we create an impervious surface around grass or dirt, and we push that water somewhere. So the water that comes off these roofs and that roof, it goes that way and into that little bitty channel. And that's just a makeshift thing to take it around the other side of the building. We built this structure and didn't take into consideration any of the impacts or implications of having this sitting here. So as a result, probably 10 years ago, we put about $300,000 into our museum to show that it would start having some serious settling issues because we pushed all the water off these roofs towards the museum. So, or from that side of the building. So that's the kind of what we're looking at. What are the implications of what we've done and how we're coming back to things.
Okay, Shannon.
I make the following motion. In accordance with Osage law, we request the TDLA provide a cost estimate for the following. I've got this written down. Number one, engineering study regarding all water drainage issues. Two, cost replacement for carpet. Carpet cost replacement throughout the nation's portion of this building. Three, a wall, the masonry wall, which is consistent with the one already up there for the front to hide the air conditioner. Four, cost to replace the roof. What else did we say?
Well, while we're in these chambers, we ought to try to figure out how to put some drop panels in here for the acoustic quality of this room.
Well, we've already appropriated money for that.
Have you seen those places that have from chains, a hanging, you still get to see your roof, but you have hanging acoustic type of baffles, so everything just doesn't carry out crazy like it does in here.
Okay, we've already appropriated money for acoustic, have we not?
Okay.
Okay, keep going, Chance.
Is there anything else we wanted to look into? I'll put it in there, acoustic.
Who's actually engineer?
If she's in the chambers. Cost per foot. To acquire additional square footage.
Irrigation system.
Yeah, exactly. Irrigation, four beds, and lawn. Anything else?
Yeah. Okay, so a second set of instructions.
Second.
Motion on the floor with a second. I think we've discussed in it. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. Okay, Bruce. Tuesday, June 20th, 1 o'clock. We'll be back.
What do you expect from me on the 20th?
We'll get you a copy of the minutes and hand them over there to you.
BIA questions.
This will be. It would be realistic about what you're asking me to do in 30 days.
Well, can I just say this?
Yeah.
I mean, here come some appropriations to try to eat up what money we have left when we know here's $1 million that probably needs to be spent on something that's very important. So,
Maria?
From what I heard in the motion, Bruce, it was a cost estimate on the engineering studies, carpet, and that list of things. It wasn't for you to have a completed engineering study to tell us how much it's going to cost. That's what I understand.
Yes.
Is that realistic or unrealistic?
It's realistic. Okay. Just going to make sure I produce what you're looking for, and not something that I want to get to work.
Okay.
With respect to the...
You need Bruce or you don't?
We might need, are there some plans that go along with this kitchen remodel?
We had early on we had a scoping meeting with our staff to go over and look at the, develop a floor plan, but it was a really general scope. So what kind of plans are you looking for?
What kind of materials are going to be used? What's the...
Basically, what specifications?
Uh-huh. What? I mean, my understanding was in the beginning they didn't have a rapid, they had no kind of hot water to see what the plan is for either a rapid recovery or other kind of hot water heater. I thought I heard somebody added a rapid recovery, but we all look at it. To see the cabinetry, I know that their part of the design was to open up that doorway, but it's major offices, so. To me, what it needed was a door rather than open up a doorway. So to see if there was a door included, because I don't know why there's no door in that kitchen. But anyway, those kinds of things we internally in the committee discussed whether they were going to use a hard surface material such as granite or something that would resist people putting hot things on cabinetry, or whether we would go with laminate. So I want to see some of those options.
How did you?
Go ahead, Bruce.
You have a current appropriation to do this, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that based on?
Shannon's thought.
Shannon's thought and an estimate on. Can we provide an estimate for that or anything?
No.
Okay. So I think we can get sit down and look at those things. You just got to understand that maybe.
Okay. So specs for the kitchen will be on the next agenda.
And in the meantime, I think we said hardwood cabinetry. I don't know if they were going to build it on site or what was going to happen.
I respect what you're saying, but put it right.
Okay.
We need to make sure we hit the mark. We can check
it
off.
Put it in writing to Bruce, and right. Bruce will report back on Tuesday, June 20th for the specs on the kitchen.
Sure will.
Okay.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
We are adjourned. Tuesday, June 20th, 1 o'clock, we'll have our next meeting and I'll hit in for that now. Thanks, everyone.
I don't want to disrespect that, but I don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to get it wrong and then you're doing that.